remember the woman you were chasing before I came along. There you were, little bright-eyed, knobby-kneed boy of 14, chasing a woman 18 years old who was still in the ninth grade.
You know, I still wonder about her sometimes.
And what do you wonder?
Oh, I wonder if she's still in the ninth grade. Right.
Back to the Black Ears Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have a beautiful round table in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris Layman, Brother Malcolm, John and Triana Wood, and extra special guests, the superstars of podcasting. We have Rod and Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips. Say what's up, y'all.
Hey, yo, thank you for having
us. What's up, everybody?
It's hard not to laugh when you're superstars.
I know.
You know, Brother Malcolm.
Yeah, we totally love you guys and so happy to have you as part of the conversation tonight. So tonight's topic is, what can't you say to your significant other? And this topic comes from an actual real life situation, a story that happened on Player Haters podcast that ended up, he called me and asked me to chime in on it, and the person who sent the situation to him actually contacted me via email with an explanation. It was hilarious. Okay, so basically, let me outline the scenario for you. You've been married for, let's say, the last 10, 15 years, and your spouse has a new friend from work, this new buddy that they've met, and they're so excited they got a new friend, and you guys are getting ready to host a lovely family and friend barbecue, and your spouse says, hey, I want to invite my new friend from work. And they do, and the new friend from work shows up, and you realize you've slept with that person multiple times. This used to be your bed buddy back in the day. Do you talk to your spouse about this? Can you have that conversation with your spouse? And other touchy topics like that. Are there topics that you can't talk to your spouse about?
Okay. For me, I think, the reason I hate romantic comedies is because the simple logic of, like, 1 + 2 = 3 or and whatnot never seems to work. And so I just get pissed off from the beginning when they don't do the easiest thing. So personally, I would just tell her right away, because I don't want to have a comedy of errors trying to cover up a lie that's not actually getting me any pussy right now. So it's just a waste of a lie, you know. I'd rather have it open. But that being said, context matters, because I'm not dating whoever you're dating. I'm not married to whoever you're married to. And while I believe I could tell Karen something like that and it not be a problem, I can't speak for any other dude and his wife.
Right. Agreed. And the situation that happened with Player Hater, this guy didn't say anything to his wife and never did. And now his wife and the woman who he was bed buddies with are still like crazy chum chums. And I was like, well, did she recognize you? Was it a situation where, you know, so many years has passed, you know, you gained weight, she's gained weight. Maybe she just didn't know who you were. And he was like, no, like, we were sleeping together every day for several years. Like, there was a definite knowing look that passed between the two of us. So she knows who I am. And I'm like, well, what if she says something to your wife? Like, you know, hey, by the way, I used to date your husband back in the day. Like, that'll have you in a compromising situation. But he just could not see where that would be of any benefit to him. I don't know. For Chris and I, we tend to be really honest about that kind of stuff. I feel like we purposely go for the uncomfortable conversations sometimes just to get it out the way. It's we don't want to have the pink elephant in the room.
This is Chris. That specific scenario, I would tell my spouse probably after the barbecue's over. I wouldn't want to do it then, because I don't know if she's going to flip out on me or her. I don't know the reaction, what's gonna happen.
He don't want to bring out my mean side.
Right, you'd be like, I can't even tell me.
Yeah, it comes out of nowhere too, man, because I remember one time we were at a picnic or a cookout for this academic thing that I was involved in when I was in high school, and apparently some girl was pushing up on me and I didn't even know it. And Karen and this girl had history, and I didn't know that shit either. And Karen went from all nice, sunny, happy, go lucky Karen to like this kind of angry and very short, like with this person. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on here? And I just had her back because I knew, you know, it wasn't the time to quibble, and it just tried to put it together later. But yeah, I could definitely understand why you would wait till it was over with, Chris, because yeah, that's what I would do too. I wouldn't do it like as soon as she walked in the door, like, hey, I fucked you. You know,
because Chris, no, I will mean mug a motherfucker out the house. That person would be so uncomfortable, like, maybe I should just leave.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to do that reality bullshit where it's like, let's make it dramatic for everybody at the party and give them a show.
Right.
I just need to like, hey, did your friend ever mention me before? You're like, okay, yeah. Let me tell you. So let me be the first one to tell you, because I don't want her to tell you and then come back like, how come you didn't tell me you was fucking this bitch a long time ago?
Yeah,
like, you know, let me. Hey, we used to fuck. I just want to let you know you want to be friends with her. I don't care. I'm not trying to fuck her now. If you want to be friends, I don't have a problem with it, but I just want to put that out there, and don't be mad at me later on.
What about you, John and Triana?
Yeah, well, this is John Wood, by the way. Yeah, the type of situation like what you were describing, Kim, I kind of feel like you almost, I mean, if the guy's gotten away with not mentioning that this long, I mean, I feel like a thing like that's got to come to light one way or another. She might hear this podcast and put two and two together. And then
oh, that's, you know, what's going to happen. So,
yeah, we might have messed it up. So, I mean, but, you know, you guys, the black guy who tips is right. I'm just going to call him black guy who tips. I mean, the context does matter. Certain people, men, women, it would be a more difficult thing to explain in certain relationship circumstances. And now, me and Triana have never exactly had that situation, but when we first got together, we're dating. One of my I'm trying to think of things married man shouldn't say to his wife, and I don't want to say them now and get in trouble. at risk of that, Triana had an ex, something like it. Who someone she'd known since she was in high school. He was kind of a friend of the family, so I wound up meeting him, you know. And she told me, she didn't let me think like this is just some random person. She let me know that there was a bit of a history there. And for me, it was just kind of like, okay, well, I kind of don't like dude now, just automatically. But aside from that, it didn't mess with our relationship, you know. So I think it's good when people can be open and understanding, communicative, because like you said, comedy of errors. You know, things can get really ridiculous if you start piling lie on top of lie on top of lie on top of lie. And really, every day goes by where you don't tell your wife or your husband the truth about that friend that they met, you know, in your relationship, it gets that sort of thing that gets really stupid when it comes to light.
This is Brother Malcolm. I guess my question is, like, what is the threshold? Because let's say this is somebody who it was two times with, or y'all went to Cabo and it was a Cabo weekend. It's like, do you really have to get into like, hey baby, like we had sex in Cabo and blah 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 blah? I'm like, to me, that seems like it causes more trouble than it's worth. I mean, I don't know. I mean, this is the single guy on the podcast right now, so maybe I have no clue of what trouble I could be in. But it just seems to me like, what if you were just like, you know what, we had a moment. See, I feel like even if you phrase it like we had a moment, that's just like, what kind of moment?
Right. It's
just like,
you can't be, you can't be reminiscing.
So I would like to pose that to the married couple.
One, you can't be reminiscing, right? Like, you can't be... You can't be telling her and then get like a tingle up your spine.
I was doing flips. Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you gotta keep it. You gotta just keep it factual. But I will also say this though, man. In the situation described, right? I think we all agree that there's like a small window where you have to tell her, right? Like, nip it in the bud.
Right.
Now, once you pass that and you're in the situation this dude is in, I think you do have to keep not telling her. It's been that long. Yeah, it's taking too long, and now it's more fucked up to say something because now she's losing a friendship, and she's gonna find out you're a liar. So like, everything is gonna be fucked up now. So he's past the threshold of honesty, and I think he's in self preservation mode as far as preserving that relationship. And I think he has to keep not bringing it up and avoiding it at all costs. What do y'all think?
Deeper ditch, like you already in deep shit anyway, so why keep piling more on, you know? Because if you don't tell her, eventually she gonna find out some kind of way, you know, and then the shit really gonna hit the fan.
I don't know, I'm, you know what, I agree with Rod, like it's at the point now, because if you tell her now, then it's whenever you tell her at this point, they're gonna be like, well, why did you wait so long? You still got feelings for this chick? Is this something? I'm like, oh,
brothers. Why we got to put it on us? What about what she been doing? But then what about her man who walk up in the pocket?
And then she's gonna have to
find we all like, well, you know, we got to tell her. I'm like, brothers, we ain't the only one that walk up into the party.
Because right, that situation
with some old doings.
That situation could very well be reversed. But with this particular gentleman's situation, I honestly don't know. He's been waiting for so long to say something. That at this point, it could cause a static, because not only, like Karen said, or Rod said, now she's going to know that he lied, and then she's going to have to take it back to her friend and confront her friend. How come you didn't tell me you fucked my husband in the past? You know what I'm saying? So, like, adding on to that topic, I want to build on there, because I honestly think, like, time matters. Like, there's a lot of people who dated when they were in, like, high school and then go on to be friends. That's a different situation, you know, than this sort of scenario. But what kind of topics can you not talk to your spouse about, or is everything open? So, okay, so question. I'm putting this out there to all the couples or anybody who's ever been in the couple. Can you talk to your significant other about your sexual fantasies? Is that all good?
The official answer is yes.
Absolutely. I say yes.
I would hope so. Wouldn't that make for a very healthy relationship?
I say you better. Okay, but put it to you like this. So you're driving down the street and you see somebody who you think is attractive. Do you say, damn, I think that person's attractive with your significant other in the car? Or is that wrong?
No. Depends on how secure the depends on how secure the significant
why
other
you
is.
Say no.
That's why.
That was awesome.
No, you know what? It depends on
hot cold. Yeah.
It's one of them ones you have to like. All right, what's the vibe in the car right now? And can I say it? And she's like, oh, you know, okay, I see that, and then that's it. Or is it like, oh, really? Why you find her attractive? Like,
this is making me sound like the most temperamental, insecure person right now.
I don't think it's you. I honestly, I think men cannot do that. I think women could get away with it. But if we did it, it's going to be different. I really do believe that.
And for me, I also think it depends on your relationship, because me and Roger have a very, very laid back relationship. So a lot of times we'll be walking in the store and he be like, she got a big old ass. I'm like, she sure do, don't she? but that's just our relationship. So we talk about other people that are attractive, because for me to think that I'm the only woman with an ass and titties, if I think I am, I'm stupid. And if I think my husband don't have eyes and he doesn't see that, you know, I will be a lunatic to think that.
Right.
And so other women are attractive just like other men are attractive to me.
What?
Nah, just
you believe yes, Rod, that? I hate to inform you.
Yes, I hate to bust that bubble, son.
Oh my God, this is so much stuff.
I know, too much. I know.
Counseling after this session.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you know, it was funny listening to everybody talk about. But yeah, that's pretty much our daily commute
routine.
In the car.
We watched the white women jog in the morning. Yeah. Watched the white women jog, and we have a theory. We know the warmer the temperature is, the more white women jog in the morning.
Yeah. So then we like judge them as we drive down the street, mm-hmm. and stuff. So, yeah, and it's like a running joke and stuff. If we go in the store or something, and there's some chick that is like dressed in something provocative, then I'll pretend to have to go down that aisle, and then Karen will be like, no, you got to go over here and get some cereal. I'm like, no, we need some feminine products or something.
or either we'll make jokes. we'd be like, oh, she look like she should be hook on hookers on the point. He'd be like, she sure do. What that white man?
Make sure you like us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine and follow us on Twitter at Black Is Online.
For us, it's a little more laid back and casual.
Yes, it is.
But obviously, context matter. Like, if Karen was saying, like, oh, I'm having problem. I feel like I'm gaining weight. And, you know, I want to start going to the gym and eating better. I wouldn't just turn around and be like, look at that bitch over there. Because that's probably the wrong time to say that.
Yeah, that does matter. Because I think, now that I think about it, Chris, I guess we will do that same sort of criticism watching porn.
Yeah,
we bang on everybody watching porn. We got all kind of commentary on everybody's body, male and female, if we're watching porn. I guess it's different if we're just
if we're out, we do it. It's not all the time, but we do it.
Yeah.
We make comments when it's just clearly like, oh, we got to say something.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I cannot look at Kim and not say something because I'm dying
laughing.
You know,
laughing. I see it.
Right. Like.
You know, you can always do the married guy thing too, which is oh my God, that is so sad that she feels she has to dress like that in this mall. You know, self-esteem really in today's plain Nicki Minaj. Yeah. Right, as opposed to, God damn, you see that? You can't, it's easier to say that and have your girl go, oh yeah, you're right. She need to stop looking at all these magazines and stuff.
So is there any topic that's off the table with the spouse? Is there anything you can't talk about?
Well, you know, you talk about fantasies, of course. I mean, there might be, you know, depending on who you are, there might be things you might bring up that might cause your significant other to look at you funny and, you know.
Like?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying if, you know, and again, for some people, this
no,
might,
we don't know, John. Please. You guys can't see, but John's got his arm around his wife, like, just in case it gets a little hot, honey, we are together.
Yeah, a couple.
I had my arm around that from the beginning, just because you never know what Kim's going to spring on me. I was going to say, though, I mean, you know, if you, let me put it to y'all like this. I mean, if your wife, you know, said something to you like, you know, hey, you know, I think, you know, speaking of watching, you know, watching something online, and I'm thinking we might have a little three-way or something, a little MFM action or something like that, or the other way around, you know, that kind of seems like a thing where relationship tensions might get a little weird, you know, if you start, depending on who you are, if you start talking about bringing another person into it. It may be a completely honest fantasy, but if the person you're with really doesn't go that way, it might be better just to keep that under wraps.
Yeah, I can see you asking that if you just want to find out. Now, I will say this. I don't know what it is for women maybe wanting to know so much. I don't want to know what the hell went on with your past relationships and how much you did. You like, did you sleep with this person? Okay, cool. That's it. I don't want to know what you did, how many times you did it. You know.
Yeah, who said this? This is Chris?
Yeah, this is Chris.
I agree, Chris.
Yeah, I do too. You know. I do
like
too.
That's. I don't need details, dog. No, like, no details. That's it. Like y'all fuck. Congratulations.
That's the end of the story to me.
Yeah, like that's one thing. Like having a podcast and we go on other people's podcasts and stuff. And like you know, I'll listen to a show that Karen did. She'll listen to a show that I did. But you know, that's one thing I'm always like try to be respectful of is like. I don't want to be on somebody's podcast like, yeah, so this chick, you know, she went down on me and it was like this and that. Because Karen might hear that show one day and be like, yeah, that wasn't too cool. You know, and vice versa. I know there's some guys that do obsess about this. I'm just not one of them. I've never had a conversation with Karen and been like, so what was he like? And shit like, I don't care.
No.
I don't know. Let me believe I'm the best because that's what I need.
Right.
And walk away.
And baby, you are the rest of
I was just about to say.
It's all I need to think.
There's only one right answer after that.
Yeah. So that's off limits for me. I can't speak for everybody, but yeah, I don't need to hear about anybody else's stuff with you and you don't have to worry about me bringing it up to you.
Was it bigger than me?
God, I would hate to be that guy. Is that the guy that looks at like pictures of athletes when they take pictures of the dick? Is that the guy who does that? Who's like, man, did you see Brett Favre's penis? Is like, I didn't. I never want to see it.
Yeah, we don't need. I don't need to know.
Yeah,
like,
I would agree.
No details. I would hope you know, he would never ask me because I'm like, you know, really?
I don't want to know.
No, I'm like, you know, we ask. It's just like, do you want me to be honest or do you want me to just give you the answer you want to hear?
I don't want to know any of it. It's enough to know you hold out in college. That's all I need to know. I don't need any detail beyond that.
Plus, yeah. Women are way freakier than men anyway, mentally. So
yes, sir.
We could never win this competition. You know what I mean? like, it's just going to end up with us being like, you did what? Why? But you never, oh my God, my head. I need to lay down.
But yeah, I would think that it is dependent on the couple and how open you guys are to talking about certain subjects. But it's hard to share everything. You want to feel like you can talk to your spouse about everything, and we can. It's just, you know, want to know what can you share, and do you actually want to just go down that route on certain subjects?
I feel like we can share. Well, I feel like hopefully couples can share everything. I feel like we, Chris and I, share a lot. There are some topics that'll provide more tension than others, but I feel like it's good tension. Yeah. It'll be something that we just talk through and get past. I don't think we've ever... I can't remember any touchy subject that's ended in, like, some serious argument. We don't really argue. In recent years.
No, we get it. Not a full-on argument.
Not at this point.
You know, headbutting motherfucker. We don't go that far.
I
just like, all right, you know what, rounds up. I'm going over here. And then just come back later and like, all right.
And I think for me personally, and something that people just don't want to discuss, a lot of people just should not be in a relationship and they should not get married. And that's something that people just don't want to talk about either, because everybody say, yeah, I'm mature and ready for a relationship. But are you really ready to tell the truth? Are you really ready to be open? Are you really ready to be honest? Are you really ready? If not, stay single.
Yeah.
And you know, I know I'm married. I've been married. Well, we just had our 10-year anniversary, and I tell
people, congratulations.
Black love is beautiful.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of it too is like marriage to me is, I guess, all relationships. It's about the tough conversations that you don't want to have, not the ones that everybody likes to have. Yeah. You know, is like you can say I love you a million times, but you know, it's the conversations that are taboo. And, you know, if your fantasy is that you need to sleep with two women or some shit like that, if you can never even think of approaching that conversation or saying that to some, like, even if the answer is about to be no, right? But if you feel like you can't even, like, broach that subject, that, like, to me, that's the strength of the relationship. The stuff like, hey, I'm thinking about maybe we shouldn't have children. Like, that's a tough conversation.
Because everybody look at us sideways because we both decided we did not want to have children. Okay. And everybody acts like it's a problem, it's an issue, it's the end of the world. What you mean? You fucking just a fuck just because you enjoy it? You know, no, you're not going to reproduce? No. And it's okay. And it's all right. And it was our choice. And I guess being a woman, a lot of people go, well, what does he think? Why does it matter what he think?
Yeah. But that is the tougher conversation, I think. Compared to, you know, some of the trivial stuff that people like to talk about. And
I know it's so. And some of the stuff people want to talk about are the pointless stuff at times. But nobody really want to talk about their finances, their credit.
Right.
You know, things
shit that matter.
That's right. Things that matter. Why am I going to be with you, nigga? And you can't purchase a pack of M&Ms on your credit. That's stupid. Right.
And I agree with you. I think that's one thing that Chris and I have done throughout our relationship is try to tackle those topics that seem taboo within a relationship, those things that are difficult. We've had the threesome conversation, we've had the finances and the baby conversation, which obviously is interesting. Now the conversation we have is whether or not we're going to have more children, which, funny enough, I feel like we're getting the same level of pressure as if we had had no child at all. Now it's like, you're only going to have one? Why would you do that? Yeah. Obviously, your child needs a sibling, blah, 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 blah. And all
it
I
seems
ask
like
people when they say that is, where is your checkbook? Since you have so much to say about us having a second child, what do you have on the birth and nurturing of this second child?
I know. Do I need to put up a donate to account button?
Right. Let me start a PayPal account for baby layman number two for everybody that wants us to have one. But anyway, I agree with you guys. I feel like you should be able to have those really, really hard conversations, even if it does mean a tense moment in the relationship.
Yes, and I agree. And before you move on, I had to get my mama straight, especially when we first been married, because we've been together since we've been 16.
Okay.
So when we got married really early and things like that. So one day I had to just sit down and tell my mama, look, 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 look. if you want a grandbaby, you have another child. You have another child. I don't want any. What about that? Don't you understand? Anybody that be like, why don't you have kids? I'll be like, why don't you have one on my behalf? I'm straight.
Because that's a personal choice.
It is.
It's a personal choice. And it's so funny. You mentioned your mother. I thought about mine only because my mother is very, very old school Christian woman. And so I remember for years growing up, she would say, oh, you know, honey, there's just certain things you don't talk to your husband about. You know, everybody has things that they just keep to themselves. And I thought to myself, I don't think I want that with my husband. And she and my dad are, you know, best friends, but I know there's certain information she feels, you know, this is woman's business. I keep it to myself. You know, my husband wouldn't be interested in knowing that kind of information. And because those are her beliefs, that's how she has structured her relationship. I feel like ours is a lot more open.
Yeah, we don't really subscribe to that. I mean, I know there's,
I mean, your mind space is your own. Right. Now, that's what my grandmother told me, which I think is the most brilliant advice to give anybody in a marriage. She says, don't try to control Chris's mind because he can't control yours. Your mind space is your own. What you think is your personal business. He can't control what you think. You can't control what he thinks. So let that be. And I think that's fine. That's healthy.
No, that's shouldn't be an issue for anybody at all.
Yeah, I think that's a sign of weakness when you try to control somebody else's mind. Like I always worry, or not worry, but I always look at couples that do the like passive aggressive trying to control each other thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow, like I could never be with someone like that. Like I get to have my own brain, and we get to have what we have is a relationship where we basically having a conference call every day and we're figuring out, you know, what the best strategy is every day, but we're not actually leaving a conference call and then you're calling me and telling me what to think about every moment of my day. And I see people do that where they feel like a relationship is about a power struggle and who's winning all the time.
Taking
and who's
tally points. Yeah.
And it's so like, that is so scary to me. Like the level of insecurity you have to feel like I need to make sure that this person does what I want them to do at all points of time.
Or I need to win the relationship. It's a relationship. There's no team that's going to win and get a trophy at the end of this argument.
Right.
Yeah. And it's impossible. You can't be with anybody 24 hours a day. So it's no point in trying to control them. I think that's where trust and good communication come into play.
Oh, the people
my
who
wife
want
is
to
always
that.
Tell me how to drive. That's what be getting on my head. Switch lanes. Get over. Why are you always in the right lane? Why you drive like an old man?
I'm a bad driver, sir.
That's our big relationship issue.
You don't bust me out like that.
I would say also I wouldn't bring up any topics that were illegal or something like you need help with. So like if I'm R. Kelly, I'm not bringing up the 15-year-olds to my wife or the pen.
Please, no,
because you know it's probably not gonna work out for you.
Mm-mm.
And she already can't testify against you in the court of law because y'all married. So anything like that, I would just avoid.
If you say so, sir.
Oh, what about outside family members? I feel like there is definitely a sensitive area there. Like you might not get along, and I'm speaking hypothetically, I love my in-laws, but you might not get along with your in-laws, but you can't go to your spouse and like bang on his or her mom or dad because you don't get along with that person, because that's still that their parent, you know what I mean? Like to me, I think there's probably only so much you can say in that regard. I don't know. Anybody agree, disagree?
No, I feel it is a touchy subject.
It's respect. It's a
respect
thing.
Yeah, and Kim and I, we had our struggles early on when we got married and, you know, bringing the families together and all that. Which
they're
is,
very different.
Right. Our parents are totally different. Our mothers are on complete opposite ends.
Completely different.
So that's always interesting. But it's, you know, you bringing families together, and people are sensitive. Some people may not get along with their parent at all. Some people may feel like their parent is their best friend. So if you say anything, like you speaking bad about, you know, their mama, they like, I don't care if you my spouse, I'm about to cut your ass.
Right. And siblings included, because I've heard of situations where spouses have or couples, you know, where, you know, the wife or the husband doesn't get along with the brother or sister of the spouse, and it's like a major thing at family events. They're on opposite sides of the room, and we know when kids come into play, now that's, you know, like, God, I don't want your brother or sister around, you know, our child that much because I don't like him or her. Like, it's a little touchy area there. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah, I think as a general rule, you do want to use a level of, I mean, you do want to be respectful of your spouse's family because, you know, you love your spouse and you may not like her relatives, but they are pretty much your family at this point, too. Me and Trion, we're just lucky enough to where we pretty much talk crap about our own families more than we do about each other's families, you know? So we don't have to have that issue for the most part. Usually I got to stop Trion from talking about her mama.
Oh, Lord.
Usually me and his mama is talking about him.
Like I said, there'll be counseling after this.
What's going on, y'all? This is Chris, the Southern Draw Angelino, and you're listening to The Black Is Break.
I will say this, man, and I don't know if it's going to sound like really shallow or really deep, but my feeling is like you create your own family anyway.
Yes, you do.
Like, I don't really believe that my family is just by blood or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's by like shared experience and like what, you know, what we would be willing to do for each other. So there's a lot of people that are blood relatives of mine that aren't my family, in my opinion.
Nope.
And agreed. A lot of people that aren't blood relatives of mine that are my family. So that's part of it. But then the other thing is, I think the respect part matters more than the actual like feelings about the person. Like, I can respectfully be like, I'm not going to your mom's house. Like, I can respectfully do that and not, instead of like going down there cussing up a storm, or every time you bring her up, you know, calling her out her name or something like that. Like, I feel like that crosses a level of respect where you're disrespecting your spouse and her family by extension. But ultimately, I feel like love is the most selfish and irrational of all the emotions. And the only responsibility love has is to itself and to be protective of its of that status. So the only, like, everything outside of love is the enemy of that. Like, anything that comes within that, that can separate it, that can hurt it, you know, it's our most childish emotion. Like, it's like the first one you experience, right? Like this uncompromising love for your mother and whatnot. So like this love is so infantile and juvenile, but we're trying to foster it inside of a mature relationship, inside of all these responsibilities that we have, right? But ultimately, anything that cannot exist with inside that bubble or coexist with it has to get the fuck out. And it doesn't matter what it is, you know? And when you see failed relationships, a lot of times it's because something came in and it was not able to sustain itself any longer because, you know, whatever happened disrupted it. And it can be something that is not even negative or evil. It can be something good, like, hey, we had a kid, but now we don't love each other. We don't got time for each other. And blah, 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 you know, or your mom. I just can't fucking stand your mom. And now we can't, you know, you love her. It's getting in our way. And I feel like that's how love is. That's how it reacts. It's like, get this shit the fuck out of my love. Well, so
it's interesting. Brother Malcolm speaking. As the person who is not married but was in a relationship recently, it's interesting the boundaries that exist also when you're courting someone. Because I was in a relationship and I felt like there were some things that were said that to me crossed a boundary. Like, we weren't married, so I didn't feel like we could. I was like, I haven't made a commitment to you for life. So there's certain things that are just, there are just certain things to me.
Like, we're on when a you're not. Basis,
yeah, right? We really are. You know what I mean? So you are not allowed to speak out of turn about anybody in my family. Like, you're still trying to, we're all trying to win each other over, you know? And so it's interesting. The perspective from as a single person or as a person who was in a non-marital relationship, that I think there are other boundaries that begin to exist when you're dating someone that you don't have. And there are certain things that you don't talk about when you're dating. And it's interesting because I'm sure a lot of those sort of critical conversations, whether it's like, you know, well, what does your credit look like? And, you know, how many people have you slept with? And can I see that STD test? All come up prior to marriage, But when we're like, when we're in the courting phase, there's just certain things for me personally that I'm not sure if I'm trying to divulge certain things about my life, because we might not end up together, and I don't need my business in the streets, because I don't want to get all extra open with you, and we don't have a lifetime commitment. Now, but you
that's,
know.
That's a really good question, though. At what point do you start asking those really hardcore questions?
When you're moving towards marriage.
But see, for me as a woman dating you, I don't want to waste my time if certain critical things you don't have in place. I kind of want to know that up front.
I agree with that, but I'm just saying, like,
if your STD test tells me that you got syphilis and herpes, I want to know that.
No, I think that's an extreme case, and I think that absolutely you should divulge that information. Like, I have an STD that is not curable or is terminal. I think that's absolutely stuff that you need to say up front with somebody that you're dating, because they don't want to have expectations. But I don't know if we're going to get into my credit situation or how many houses I own. In the first 3-6, I mean, it just depends on where we're going. Now, if we're going, I'm like, yeah, we're headed towards the altar, and it's gonna, yes, there are certain things that I definitely want you to know, and I want to know about you. But I think you definitely have to be careful when you're dating someone, how much information they are privy to about your personal life, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, because the closer you get to a person, I tend to think that as a relationship becomes progressively more serious, you should just sort of know internally, like, okay, we're getting to the point now where I should probably tell her about, baby mama that I have tucked away.
See, I think a baby mama has got to be like a good 2 to 3 months in, if not a month in.
Wow.
See, that's the thing. That's why.
Interact with that person eventually, aren't they? Baby mama, a year later,
if you have a child,
that's probably a bad example.
Yeah, because if you have a child and you wait 60 days, we've been dating for 2 months, and you wait 60 days to tell me that you have a child.
Okay, 2 weeks.
My point is that, okay, say maybe you used to have a drug addiction or something, or maybe, you know, you,
sex addiction.
You're an AA.
Yeah, you're in rehab, or, you know, you had a felony or something that was, you know, something you did a long time ago.
Felonies definitely need to come up first, second date. if there's a chance that you have a third strike coming against you, ladies, please let me know.
Just leave some context clues. Just start bringing up little stuff in a date, like, yeah, man, it would be cool if I was able to vote. Anyway. Yeah. How you feel about baby seats? Anyway, let's talk about something else.
If you're not able to leave your house, right, I'm going to know that you may be on lockdown.
This ankle cup sure itches.
If you want to meet in the garden of your home.
I'll be back. I have to go to work. Release. But seriously though, I do think that that's kind of what's messed up about love, is like, it's so different for every relationship.
Yes,
it's so
it
different
is.
For every person. Like, I wanted to ask Malcolm, the last girl that you said you were with, would you say you were in love with her?
He's thinking hard right now.
I thought I was in love. Yeah, I was. I was
okay, so you were in love with her, but you still felt like there were some things you didn't want to share with her.
I actually shared a lot, but mm-hmm. I think that there were certain things that, honestly, yeah, I was trepidatious because there was still trust being built. So to me, and maybe I'm a little bit more private that way, but I'm like, I'm not really giving you all the goods until like I know for certain that you are the woman I want to spend the rest of my life with.
So for you, the term in love doesn't necessarily mean that you are ready to spend the rest of your life with that person.
No, it does not.
Yeah. So like, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's no like book or like standard definition. So it's different for everybody. Cause like, if I say I'm in love with somebody, I'm actively saying we need to spend the rest of our life together.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like how kids now say hooking up, and it can mean anything from fucking to meeting up to play video games.
Right.
Oh, okay. That, okay. You know what? I'm sorry. Now that I realize, no. I guess you're right. No, I think I do agree with what you just said. Yes. And being in love, there was the attempt was to move towards that. But I want to move off of Malcolm.
No, but I mean,
because people in this building know who she is. No, but none of them.
No, but I feel you that there are certain questions or topics that you probably like. I'm putting these in the, you know, that are like at the back end. That, you know, some of these things I'll address once I, you know, you kind of check your list off, and then once you get to a certain point, you're like, you know what, I want to bring this up now.
For instance, like, let's just say there was, I mean, this is, again, hypothetical. Let's say, I don't know, something traumatic happened in your family. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know if you need to tell, everybody needs to know that. Maybe that is, like, a family moment. And, like, if you become part of the family, you get to know about that trauma because it's going to always affect us every time we're at Thanksgiving dinner because everyone's going to be thinking about it or something. I mean, I don't know. There's just, for me.
No, that makes sense. That
you
makes
know what
sense.
I'm saying? Like, if we're not headed down.
Like, love is like a video game, right? And there's levels, and sometimes it takes a while to get to the harder levels. The harder levels are longer.
That's a great analogy.
And every once in a while, like, I can't say exactly what it was, but I remember we were in bed one day, and Karen told me something, and I was like, wow, that was really incredible of you to say that. And that was, like, I don't know, 7 years into our marriage. So it's just one of those things where, like, you're constantly playing the video game, if you will, whether you know it or not, and you're constantly reaching that next level and going, huh, well, a high score, and go put my name on my initials on the board and keep going.
Yeah, and then you know what? Every time you think you done beat the boss, another boss come up, and every time you think you done beat that boss, another boss comes up.
Yeah, it's a really hard video game.
And this one that you can't reset, you can't turn off.
It takes a lot of quarters.
A whole dollar bills. What are you talking about, son? And to talk about, to kind of go back to something that y'all was talking about before about marriage and mother-in-laws and things like that. Me and Roger's mother-in-law get along great. I actually love my mother-in-law. And I guess I'm kind of different. So when people say they have these issues with their in-laws, I don't. Because, like, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, I would literally do things and respond to them quicker than I will my own family. Because they did more for me through my lifetime being with Roger than my own family has. And so I even told my mom, Mama, I love you. I love you very, very dear. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now, if Roger's parents call and said that they need something, I said, I'm getting up and moving. I said, some of y'all call, I will look at the phone and debate whether or not I pick it up. I love y'all. Love you very dearly. But I feel as though when it comes to in-laws, it's about personality. Sometimes I think people are not mature because, like, for me and Roger, it was things that he would tell me about my family that I didn't realize was wrong, and not really wrong, that I didn't realize that was not considered normal. Because sometimes people on the outside looking in can see things that will cause issues in the relationship in the future. And when they have a tendency to bring that up, people need to be open-minded enough to hear that person out because they might have a valid discussion that they're trying to have with you. But when it comes to people, family and immediate family, everybody want to shut that conversation down. Like, my family's right, you just wrong, you trying to impede, you trying to break up, when they might have a valid reasoning that they're trying, and a logical reasoning that they're trying to give to you about the situation. Because it was simple things like how my family talked to me and things like that I just thought was normal because that was the way I was raised.
Well, also, that's love too. And remember how I was saying that love is a kind of a really childish emotion, you know, like, we talk about it like it's not, but it really is. So, like, your familial love, like, the stuff that it brings you back to your childhood where you'll shut down when someone, like, challenges, like, hey, your mom is doing this and it's pretty destructive. And most people will just completely shut down. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's like, that's my mama, dog. Like, you got to shut up right now. We can't have this discussion. So I feel like even in the context of romantic love, of familial love, whatever, there is an infantile, like, part of us that we kind of have to fight in order to keep it mature, or else it just becomes, like, self-destructive.
And that's true. And something else I want to add on, like, for me, I know me personally, I couldn't be with anybody that was a mama's boy. I know I can't. Like, I'm the only woman. I'm the one. I'm the fucking only one. And so I don't want to share you. If you want to marry your mama, shit, be with your mama. I'm not her. And so I know I couldn't marry somebody that every time your mama call, you hop in, you jump in, you run it. Oh, my mama. You married me. You separate and left your mama and you married me. So I can't, me and your mama can coexist. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, I'm fucking number one. She bumped down to number two. I'm sorry. I took her place.
Right. She's the queen.
Drop the mic, Karen. Drop the mic. Just drop it. And boom.
Obviously, I'm the prince and she's giving me the crown. I get it, Karen.
Yes, sir.
I completely understand that. I understand that point about the role of where the wife should be in regards to the mother. Because, you know, sons do have that special relationship with their moms. And like me having a son now, It's interesting. I know that day is going to come where there's going to be a woman who he puts ahead of me. So not ready for that. Glad it's way in the future. But it's something that I keep preparing myself for mentally, because that's just what happens with boys when they grow up and decide to, you know, take wives. But something that I think you both said that was really important in regards to having family members that are destructive and growing up in circumstances that seem normal to you because that's all you know, and then having your spouse recognize it from the outside. I know I'm Chris calls me his little bulldog. I'm very protective of him, of Eli, of you know, I covet our unit and what we are creating as a family. And I really do not, I don't deal well with anybody criticizing him in any kind of way or criticizing my son in any kind of way. I'm very defensive, and I'll say, you know, I'll protect them, you know, in that way. And Chris will do the same thing for me. We've had conversations with each other after being around our families and said, you know, I didn't really care for what your mom said about X, Y, and Z, and, you know, vice versa. Because I think we both have mothers who just love us very much where they're, well, I'm my mother's only child. Chris is the oldest. And I think when you're in that position, parents are just very critical. They want to make sure everything is right with their child. And you know, they might say things from a place of love to be, you know, constructively critical, but sometimes it can just come off a little bit stronger than maybe they intend. And so I know we both have a tendency to protect. I might be a little bit more aggressive in my protectiveness when it comes to us. But I remember when we got married, my dad told me, never let anybody talk about your spouse. Never. Like the moment somebody twists their mouth to say something crazy about your spouse, shut that shit down. And I've taking that to heart for sure.
I agree. I actually, and also I will add to that a lot, and I see this happen a lot, and it's just, and maybe it's just my personal thing, but everybody does it and I'm the one that's crazy. I don't ever badmouth my spouse in front of people.
Right.
Fuck no. Nope. Like if we have a problem, let's talk about it privately.
Oh,
and
yeah, I never do either. Don't,
like I don't have a friend that I go to and complain about my wife. Mm-hmm. I don't need it and I don't want it. And I don't want that person feeling the liberty to add on.
Nope.
Trying to be my friend. So now they're justifying some bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, man, your wife is a bitch. What do you mean my wife's a bitch? So I just avoid that kind of stuff, man. Even though I understand that is kind of the cliche thing that everybody does. And we also don't argue in public in front of people. I'd rather go home, man. Honestly, if I have an issue and is, you know, that pertinent or whatever, I stow it, log it, and we'll bring it back up later. But I'm not gonna be arguing with my wife in public either.
No, we don't play that bullshit. And I think a lot of times our family, both our families, actually, you know, think we don't have any issues or problems. We go, yeah, we just keep our shit private. And when you keep your marriage private, because it's personal, marriage is very personal. Marriage, and this is just my opinion, marriage isn't. Yes, I love my husband, and you know who my husband is. That's all you need to know. Anything beyond that, I feel like if I choose to tell you, that's one thing. But don't dig. See, I'm like you, Casey, when it comes to people digging into my marriage. You want to make me angry? Start digging and asking personal questions about my marriage and my husband. I will snap because I feel like that's none of your fucking business. If I don't choose to tell you, don't ask.
Exactly. I agree 100%. Oh, well, this has been a really wonderful opening to the podcast. Very vigorous. Before we wrap up, Rod and Karen, can you please tell listeners where they can find you if they don't already know?
Yeah, you can find us at theblackouttips.com. You can also search on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic for The Blackout Tips. And we're also on Facebook and all sorts of other social media. Join our group, become one of us. And yeah, we appreciate having us on. We listen to y'all's show.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys are an eclectic group of black people that I enjoy hearing their opinions on.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much. And can you tell us about all the other businesses, the other sites and blogs that you guys have that are a part of the Black Guy Who Tips Network?
All right. First of all, we also do spoiled movie reviews. I can't believe I forgot to bring that up. It's where we review movies that you've either seen, never ever plan on seeing, or don't give a fuck about us spoiling it, because we spoil it.
Yes, we
and,
do.
And you can also look, when you go to theblackouttips.com, look on the right-hand side, and there's like an entire blog roll of the podcast that we support, that support us. And we're constantly updating it and stuff. If you're one of those podcasters that, you know, been on our show, we've been on your show, stuff like that, and you don't see the link, let us know, because we don't have a web admin. It's just us.
Yeah.
So let us know, because it's
interns.
Clearly an oversight. Yes. And we will add you. I think you guys are already on here, but if not, let me know.
Yes, please.
And yeah, that's like the whole Chitlin circuit of podcasting.
Well, we absolutely love and adore and admire you guys. And I'm so, so grateful. We all are, actually, that you were able to join us tonight. We appreciate it. You guys, they're on East Coast time. It's 12:30, so we got to give them some love for staying up.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I took a nap and everything. I was ready to go. I was like, yeah, we're going to be up there until like 1 a.m. I was like, I'm ready. I done napped.
Yeah, she is the queen of naps. Yep.
And of course, we are going to have you guys back on the show soon.
We are.
Oh, we can't wait.
We are.
Hopefully, we can reach out to the rest of y'all and get y'all on that too, man.
I was about to say, we might have it where y'all can come on our show like this, and we can talk to y'all round table on our show.
That would be awesome. Holla, 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 holla,
holla, holla, holla, holla, holla,
holla, holla. That would be off the chain. Well, we thank you so much for tuning in to the Black Is Break. Be sure to check back in. Peace. We'll be right back.